This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Right now, we're listening to Underground Kings by New York rapper, producer, and king himself, Mike. The 25-year-old is on the road for his Somebody Find Me Trouble tour, and he'll be making a stop right here in Chicago on Thursday, April 25th at Metro. Mike will be performing classics along with his most recent project, Pinball, which features 11 new tracks with fellow NYC producer Tony Seltzer. I sat down with Mike ahead of his upcoming Chicago show. I started by asking about his exploration of grief, success, and mental health in his music. Here's Mike.
Honestly, with my music, I don't think I necessarily intend on exploring anything in particular, but I think more so it's a recap of my life. I think with Pinball, it was more so just a recap of life, but over Tony Seltzer's production. So I think it probably just came across a lot more turnt.
That said, when you recap your life, is that easy for you? Is it easy to be vulnerable and share what's going on in your life in these songs?
I think for me, usually when I make music at home, I have my setup in my bedroom. So I'm usually just me playing with sounds and stuff and writing. So I don't really have that thing until I show the homies or maybe until the music is out. But I maybe feel encouragement, I think, instead of being necessarily scared to express myself in these places. My friends are really encouraging. I think also even the people that support me are pretty encouraging as well.
Sounds like you're surrounding yourself with some good people.
Yeah, got to.
I'm going to have to ask you about the name of this album as well. But first, why don't we listen to the title track? Here's Pinball. I don't know about chess, but really I love you. You my seven, stay in touch, made a real touch. Throw a hat and why you blood, think I seen enough. We gonna catch you in that cut, but we keep it subtle. But my partner saying, that just being stuck. And my papa hugging cause he believe the hustle. I be show the plug, I be weed it up. All around me hella thugs, I keep in trouble. I was down but never done, I just need a one. I was down to the junk and I feel good. So how did you land on Pinball as the title of the album? And what was the inspiration for this?
I think with Pinball, we had we wasn't necessarily intending to do a project together, but we were just making a whole lot of music. And eventually we had just both thought it makes sense to turn it into a project. And then during the process of putting all the songs together, kind of listening to everything and naming the songs, we was the hardest part low-key was figuring out the name of the project and what the artwork would look like. So there's just a period where me and Tony both, I feel we're probably just searching through hella things to find inspiration or some type of art that could be symbolic of the project. And I think Pinball had just got it just because of the kind of fast pace.
Everybody has a visual of a pinball, right?
Yeah.
Pinball machine even, right? This kind of zigzagging, fast paced.
Yeah. And it was kind of just I guess supposed to represent the fast speed energy of the project and even maybe the energy of stuff that I was talking about as well.
Mm-hmm. And by Tony, you're talking about, as I mentioned, New York City producer Tony Seltzer. Talk more about the collaboration.
It was really casual. Like, I was working on Burning Desire at the time. So I'd just be at home working on music. And then me and Tony would link like maybe every other week. And my thing was kind of like, I'm not going to go to Tony's studio without making a track. I got to make sure I make a track, mm-hmm. even if maybe something I'm not super fond of, but just like make sure I do it. Cause then it became like working out or like going to the gym, and it was really like a good place to like mm-hmm. test my pen and test like my artistry in different places, or even working with another producer. Cause before Burning Desire and Pinball, I was really, there was like a good section of time where I was just producing everything on my own, like not that many features. So it's been cool to kind of branch back out.
You're also not one to put yourself in a category or in any box. You've talked about your fans kind of getting hooked on you being a certain type of way or rapping in a certain style. Why do you want to stay out of those boxes?
I'm very grateful. I think what's worked for my music is that a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds could relate to it. I think it plays a part because, like, I've grown up in a lot of different environments, like whether it be like England or Philadelphia, New York, and all these things I say like play a big part in my music. And I would hate to, because of like what somebody else thinks or because of like, oh, this is how these things are supposed to be. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not able to express all of those different influences and stuff.
Why don't we listen to another track, Mike? This is R&B.
Scared, I was not legit. Buying some money on them brands, got my mama crib. They gon' test me, watch some hands, come up positive. Please don't flex, cause I'm a fan, but I'm not a. I like sexy, I look handsome, I hop out the whip.
So this track is really easy to listen to. I love that line that just passed. You said, I look sexy, I look handsome, I hop out the whip. You make a lot of references in this song to money, right? You say, I spent money on them brands. Got my mom a crib. I threw confetti on this dancer for my confidence. I had a dream. It was a cash and my pocket's big. But on the other hand, you say things like, I had to do a homie bad. I ain't proud of it. The only thing I know about death, it teach you how to live. So to me, it's like how on one hand, you're kind of painting this picture of what we could call financial success. But on the other, you're talking about doing things that you're not proud of, on the way that success, learning hard lessons of life and death. Is that right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel like that's one of my favorite things to do in music, or just, I don't know, that's kind of how I live life. Is there's a little bit of bad and the good, and there's a little bit of good and the bad, hopefully.
So for people who aren't familiar with your work, I mean, I think it's important to note that you are now 25. You released your first album at 17 years old. And in the past, you've talked about how with age, sometimes things become more difficult to express because of, you know, pride and expectations of others, maybe expectations that you have for yourself. You've talked a little bit already about how you've sort of overcome that and just express freely. Talk more about how you navigate that, because I think people would assume that at your age, you know, you might still be sort of climbing that ladder.
Nah, definitely. I think I almost feel like you never stop climbing that ladder. Right now, what's working for me, I've always been kind of scared to stick out, or I don't know, like bring too much attention to myself.
Really?
Yeah, low key. I've always been kind of like the taller, like kid, like bigger kid. Probably is always already like kind of hard to miss type of vibe. So I feel like I kind of grew up trying to minimize myself. Music became the thing that kind of helped me explore what me not trying to hide away from things looked like. Because I realized by like minimizing myself and not speaking up, there's like mistakes that you make that like there's nobody to teach you that like that was a mistake, you know, because you was too scared to like speak up about it. Now I'm just kind of in a place where like, I don't know, like I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna just be open about like everything. And I know if there's people around me that love me, then like they'll take me as like who I am, you know.
Time for another music track. Here's On God.
I'm at it first. My face on the wall, we stalling, get no berserk. I know it all. They throw sticks and stones and rocks, but it never hurt me. I'm so appalled. I feel like Uzi Vert. All my friends in the dirt, only with dog. My bro and my sister, making it work.
She know I'm on, I'm always on call. You know I'm on, no, I drive. I cannot talk, just all your pocket. I'm really
so this song features Earl Sweatshirt and Tony Snow. And there's this post on Reddit. It's called, "Anybody else think that Mike is criminally underrated?" I don't know if you're familiar with it at all, but underneath it, they say, quote, "In my opinion, he clearly inspired Earl to change his sound to the one that it is today. Even though Mike describes Earl as his mentor, I think they both bounced off of each other noticeably and to great effect." So, I mean, do they have a point? I mean, you've worked on a number of songs with Earl in the past. He has called you one of his favorite rappers ever. What's collaborating with Earl like? You know, he's not only another talented musician, but he's a friend.
Before I was able to even, like, know him as a friend, like, he's literally, like, one of my favorite rappers and even producers. Like, just, I think, musician overall. So, like, him seeing my music as to the caliber that he does is one thing. Being able to, like, become a friend of his is, like, a whole nother thing. I personally could tell you that, like, that dude influenced me, you know what I mean? Like if I was able to influence him as well, like, as a fan of him, it makes me feel pretty stamped as well. So, like, I don't know. I think something beautiful happened with that relationship, like, coming together. So, I don't know. I think it's a, for me, it's a blessing. I think for music in general, it's been a blessing, because I think out of that and out of that relationship and how, like, it's continued to, like, grow and turn into other things, I think it's been, like, a really good thing for just music in general.
Who have you been listening to these days?
I have so many homies that make music. So most of the time, listening to the homie stuff, like my homie Anisia Kim just dropped a project. Nyante dropped a project, Demon Muppy. There's this one track on there, Super Bowl, with him and 454. That's just ridiculous.
Run my turn, no stamp. I play the Vans, I feel like he helped. It's right until now, they came back in the vent. Walk around that rocket, I know that I'm him. Kick it out of pocket, we leaving them here. Playing bullets, I'm talking a little like a spirit in a party.
The outside of the homies, this artist, Brazy. I think she's from Nigeria. Mwah.
Well, the reason we've got you on Reset today, I mean, you've got a show coming up next week at Metro right here in Chicago. So tell us what you're most looking forward to.
Every time I play in Chicago, it's always like, just such a beautiful show. Like the last time we played with Samara Truth, and that was just a breathtaking performance. I'm literally just always excited for Chicago. It's always so much love, and it's good food as well.
What's up for the rest of your Somebody Find Me Trouble tour?
We about to figure it out. We got like 33 dates of shows, and
That's a lot.
That's a whole lot of shows. I think altogether with the Europe ones, like, maybe like close to like 60 shows or something.
Do you like touring?
Yeah, I actually really do love touring. That's why, like, I'm always, before I like really hit the road, I'm always like, it's about to be a super long time. And then the first day is literally like a rodeo, and I'm just like having fun for like the next 30 days.
Yeah, 33 stops. That's incredible. Well, we'll leave it there. That's New York rapper, producer, and artist Mike. Now you can catch him here in Chicago next week on April 25th at Metro. Thank you so much for spending time with us, Mike.
Hey, appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Let's go out on one more song. This is Lethal Weapon.
All you making bills, that's the first impression. I get so the world I had when you was guests. Call my jello for my manager, he need a next.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin and Ethan Schwab, who also mixed the episode. Come back to the Reset Podcast every Saturday for interviews with great musicians from Chicago and beyond. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
When I see the facts, I ain't trying to leave you wrong. We can be
met you. I be hot for really long, know the geeks get it. Rollin' by you since the Bronx, I could teach a lesson. So much right to feel so wrong, I could be regressed. All the wrong to feel so right, so I keep it set. You be lying in your songs, I can be yourself.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.